Thank you. Thank you. What a great song. David Stearns is coming in just a moment to read our scripture for us. Let me set it up, please. Inside your bulletin is an insert that looks like this. If you'd take it out, please. We're going to be following along in the scripture. And this is from Psalm 139. And Elder David, if you could read down through verse 12, please.
You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you.
Thank you, Elder. Well, what a week. We see the riots going on back east. Someone asked me the other day, observed that we haven't had too many riots here on the West Coast. We will take our turn. They'll come here eventually. And we see the political debates starting tomorrow. I feel obligated to watch them, but a part of me doesn't want to. I sort of already know what they're going to say. And I wish, I truly wish that these two candidates would talk about their positions, their issues, that they want to take the country rather than just hurling insults at each other and talking about each other's faults. And so so I think I'm going to go to a small group tomorrow at the same time. I will be better served, I think. And I went to a sheriff's meeting the other night, when was it, Friday night. And I was with several chaplains, and these chaplains go out on ride-alongs with deputies. And they go into homes doing death notifications and grief counseling with people and also peer counseling with the officers who get involved in violent acts, or they see terrible things. We had a sergeant suddenly retire when he pulled a 3-year-old girl out of a car who was dead, and what struck him as so traumatic was that he has a 3-year-old daughter himself. And he just couldn't get past that. So the chaplains offer a significant, valuable service to these officers. I haven't ridden with these officers yet. I've ridden hundreds of times with Grass Valley officers and other officers up in that area. And I can tell you that not for a moment would I want to be a police officer or a deputy. I don't mind going into the houses with them. I don't mind going into domestics. I've been in numerous fights, not with them, but, well, with them, with others. Been on foot chases, but I just wouldn't want to be a police officer now. And so we need to pray for our officers. They get a lot of bad press, and indeed there are some videos out there that are where officers just abuse their powers, their authority, and innocent people, it would appear, do get hurt and even killed at times. So we need to pray for them. So in a society that seems to be having a certain amount of darkness covering over it right now, and for those of us who have been down the road for a number of years, it seems like the America that we are in now is not the America that our children, is not what we would wish our children and our grandchildren to be in. We remember what it was like for us as children, and there was a carefree spirit, there was a community value system. I remember being living on Marine Corps bases growing up, that if I misbehaved, there would be the commanding officer of another squadron from my dad who might discipline me. Then when I got home, my father would discipline me. My version of double jeopardy. We in the church, though, have an alternative reality. Not one that lives in denial, but one that lives to a kingdom that operates with a different value system, that has different goals, different relationships, different rules. I was talking with somebody the other day, and I said, it seems like many of our institutions that have served us so well for a generation now seem to be devolving. Our police are under fire right now. Education seems to be having its problems. The economy, we hear public reports that it is doing so well, and yet our children and grandchildren have difficulty finding prosperous jobs. We have a medical system that is, I think, trying to be heroic with restraints on it that do not serve people well, that are causing enormous suffering because of the cost of things. The church 20 years ago went through a lot of criticism, mainly because of our Catholic friends, the priests misbehaving with children especially. Seems like we've gotten over that. The church generally, church-wide, has reenacted its deeply held values and accountability to keep leadership in on the straight and narrow. But it seems like now, and I'm persuaded, and I say it again, that the church is the last great hope of the world. I just believe it. And so we are about the task today of starting something that has fallen by the wayside, and that is the restart of small groups. Now, we do have some small groups. Choir is probably one of the bigger ones, and the Mary Macs are another big group. But we're talking about small groups that are special, that have four main duties or activities, that they have prayer, Bible study, fellowship, and service. And we have eight of these groups starting up, starting today. And we hope that if you haven't signed up for one, that you will. We're going to be studying this book by a fellow named Francis Chan, called Crazy Love. And I had heard about this writer before, but I'd never read his books. And I have to say that we are in for a treat, because we're going to, for the next 8 weeks, we're going to be going through his book in the small groups. And I'm going to be preaching on the subject of the small groups. And they'll be discussing not only the chapter that relates to that week, but also my sermon as it applies to that subject. So today we're going to be looking at Psalm 139. Please take that out, and if you have a pen or pencil, you're going to need to get that also. What I want to do today and over the next 6 weeks is give you some skills. It is not enough for you to come here on Sunday morning and receive the preaching of the Word, a lesson from God, some insight, some encouragement, some inspiration from the music and the prayers and the readings. What we need to do is to train you to mature yourself, to enrich yourself, to cause your own self to be more, to know how to align yourself under the life and the image of Christ. And so today I want to teach you the skill of finding what are called ascriptions. A-S-C-R-I-P-T-I-O-N-S. Ascriptions. It's sort of like the word descriptions, but it is nuanced a little differently. An ascription is not just trying to describe something, but it is imputing, it is declaring, it is proclaiming an attribute of God. And so I want to teach you from the first three verses some attributes that stand out, and they're underlined. And then after that, I'm going to have you participate from the audience shouting out some of the ascriptions that you see, and we will go through those together. Okay, so the first one. Here's the first description. You have searched. It's usually the subject and the verb, and usually the subject and the verb. It can include also the object of the sentence, but usually the subject and the verb are sufficient. And so the first one there is, you have searched. What do we learn about that? Is that we do not have a God who sits up in heaven, blindfolded, immune, distant, aloof from the cares of the world, from your life and mine. We have a God who's on the hunt. We have a God who is penetrating into the life and the affairs of this world. In fact, that's what the rest of that line says. You have searched me. Boy, what a thought. What a thought. God has searched me. Now, if you're like me, part of that is scary. There's a part inside that I don't want God to know. Well, too bad. Part of me I don't want my wife to know. Too bad. After what, 48 years? She knows me. She's like God in that respect. And she still loves me. You have searched me, Lord, and guess what? What's the second ascription, the second phrase there? You know me. You know me. You know, there's a part of me that would like to know me like God knows me. I can see the dark side inside of me, and that's the part that I worry about, I'm afraid of. Now, God can see those things too. But God knows me towards a different purpose. In that God knows me and loves me just the way I am. But loves me enough not to leave me as I am, but to make me more like Christ. Okay, let's look at the second verse. You know some other things. You know when. You know, when I sit, when I rise. Isn't that interesting? It's like God has a monitor, a camera. God knows when I sit, when I rise. Second part of that verse, you perceive. Oh, now it's one thing to observe me physically, getting up and getting down. It's a whole another thing to read my mind. And that's what that next part is about. You perceive my thoughts from afar. God knows my thoughts even before they occur to me. Lord, thank you that you search me, that you know me. You know when I'm sitting up and you even know my thoughts that are coming. And that third one, look at the third verse. You discern my going out. My lying down. Okay, now there's a third line there. Do you see an ascription there? An attribute of God in that third line of verse 3. Go ahead and shout it out. You are, you've caught this immediately. You are familiar. Now, it's stronger than being casually familiar, superficially familiar. Because of the previous verses, he is familiar in the sense that he just knows how I'm going to act. He knows what I'm thinking. Okay? The next verse, verse 4, let's look at verse 4. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it. Now, this is alluding to just the previous verse where it says that he can see my thoughts from afar. Well, he not only sees my thoughts, he sees the words that I'm going to be preaching about in just a moment. Lord, what am I supposed to say? I'm sort of joking here. Lord, you know what I'm going to say. Look at this fifth one. What does it say? You hem me in. Think about that. You hem me in. There are other passages in Psalms which talk about the Lord putting up a hedge of thorns around the chosen ones of God so that the foxes, so that the enemy cannot penetrate and get to you and me. You hem me in behind and before. And then I love that second line. What is the ascription there? You lay your hand upon me. Okay, I didn't just make that statement up that the hand of God is on you. It comes from this verse right here. That the hand of God is on you. Say that. The hand of God is on you. Okay, right now what you have just done is another lesson that I want to teach you. And that is how to pray the scriptures. If you, this is something that brings you into the presence of God faster than almost anything I know. Where you are speaking to God, the words of God, and you're praying the words of God to God. So listen how this might turn into a prayer. Lord, thank you that you have searched me. What a thought! You have searched me. I cannot imagine that, Lord. You know me. You know what I'm good at. You know where I'm going to make mistakes. You know the places that you have given me grace. You know the places where I still resist you. In fact, you know when I got up this morning, the thought that you are reading my thoughts, Lord, it is incredible. It is mysterious to me. I don't know of any other God out there who can do such a thing. Lord, I hear that all gods are the same God. I don't think so. I don't know of any other gods out there that can do what it says you can do right here, Lord. Lord, thank you that you are the one true living God. You are my God. What grace it is that you have brought me into the place where I can be with you. You discern my going out, my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. You even know what I'm going to say next. So Lord, here's what I'm wondering. Do you know what's going to happen to me soon? Do you know what my future is? I'm sort of scared about parts of my future. Health, finances, relationships. I wonder if some of the conditions in my body will catch up to me. Lord, I worry about these things. But you know all these things, don't you? Okay, do you see how I'm praying the scripture? I'm letting the scripture prompt my thinking. I'm then adding on to what the ascriptions are, what the attributes are, And I'm relating my life to who God is. Let me comment on verse 5 again. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Lord, I need to know that your hand is on me. I've got to know that. I really have to be persuaded. Don't you feel that? Isn't that comforting to know and believe and be told that the hand of God is on you? Now, Lord, there are times when I don't feel like your hand is on me, and I need to be reassured. Would you give me a sign? Would you give me just a reminder? Not just verbally here, which is important, but give me the eyes to see how you're blessing me, how your hand is on me, how you're guarding me. The other day I was in preparation for this. I was reading that verse that you hemmed me in before, behind and before. And I was backing out of one of the stalls here. And I thought it was clear. And then I heard this horn. You know, one of these horns that says, you idiot. And so I snuck back into my spot, and here comes a big truck behind me. I can't imagine how I missed it. But I was reminded the Lord was hemming me in, protecting me. Then verse 6, let's close with this. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. You know, there are different kinds of knowledge. There is book knowledge, academic knowledge. There's knowledge that we get from our parents, knowledge that we get from our schooling. There's the school of hard knocks that we learn things from. Pain is a powerful teacher. And then there is the knowledge that comes from God. It is inserted into us, not of our own thinking, but it comes to us by way of the Scriptures. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Lord, thank you. I don't know what to think. God, you're awesome. You're powerful. You're wonderful. Okay, I've taught you two lessons today. I've taught you how to identify ascriptions, attributes of God. And what I'd like for you to do is, this afternoon, if you wish, is to find the attributes in the rest of that column. Just underline them. Meditate on them. Think about them for just a bit. And then pray those words. Sort of use those words as an outline. Let those words be the format for your prayer. And spin off on those words, those thoughts. Let your thoughts go where they may. But keep in dialogue with who God is. And what you're going to find yourself doing when you're looking at these descriptions is that you're going to be finding that you have been transported in a new, fresh way into the presence of God. It's not going to be like you're reading the Bible for knowledge and insight and how-tos. You're going to be praying the Scriptures, and the Word of God is going to bring you into the presence of God. Now, we're going to be, when we finish here, we're going to be going into the social hall, the fellowship hall, having coffee. And there are going to be some more posters up there to sign up. We really hope that if you haven't signed up for a group, that you'll find a convenient date and time. One of the groups actually is going to be meeting during this hour. And that'll be the younger group. But they meet throughout the week. The reason that we're doing this, and it's important for you to know the overall big picture, is that a church needs to have several systems in place for it to be healthy and for it to grow. The small groups used to be very strong and powerful in the life of this church, but they have fallen away, and we're bringing them back. We cannot have a healthy growing church without small groups. And so if you want to be a part of the rebirth, the rebooting, the restarting of this congregation, if you want to give this church a great future, then we need to have you be a part of the small groups. It's just 8 weeks. You can do that for 8 weeks. Well, let me pray a blessing on us. Lord, thank you that you do love us, that you have searched us. You know us just as we are. There is no illusion in your perception of us. You see us accurately, and you have chosen, like a good father, to love us. Lord, help each of us to love ourselves and each other as you love us. Help us to see that you are precious and special to ourselves and to the people around us. Lord, you are, like we're going to sing in just a moment, you're like the one that we long for. We want you to be our heart's desire. We want to worship you genuinely. Lord, persuade us that you alone are our strength and our shield, that you alone cause my spirit to yield to you. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.